Vacation alert from the three-row Jeep Grand Cherokee L. Mama and Papa want to go hiking. Los abuelos want to relax at the beach. And the kids want to go to the amusement park. With seating for up to seven, you and your loved ones can enjoy all these adventures and more. Jeep, there's only one. Visit Jeep.com to learn more. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. Isn't it bullshit to have to question where your food comes from? At Vital Farms, you can trace your pasture-raised eggs all the way back to the source, the pasture. On the side of each pasture-raised carton of eggs, you'll find the name of the farm where your eggs were laid. And when you look the farm up on their website, you'll get a peek at all the sunshine, fresh air, and open space the hens enjoy. Learn more and find out where to buy them at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free.
This autumn, Sky at Night magazine's Masterclass series returns with a new set of online talks all about stargazing. Over three sessions, we'll be joined by expert astronomers who'll talk us through a different aspect of observing, then stay on hand to answer all of your questions. On the 29th of September, learn how to navigate across the stars and constellations. Then, take a tour of the moon as we get to grips with the lunar landscape on the 27th of October. And finally, check in with the neighbours on the 1st of December and learn how to observe the planets. And if those dates don't work for you, don't worry. They'll all be available on demand after the talk. Tickets cost £15 each, or you can save yourself £9 by getting all three at once. Visit skyatnightmagazine.com and click on the virtual events tab at the top of the page for more details and to book your tickets now.
Hello and welcome to Star Diary, the podcast from the makers of BBC Sky at Night magazine. You can subscribe to the print edition of the magazine by visiting skyatnightmagazine.com or to our digital edition by visiting iTunes or Google Play.
Greetings, listeners, and welcome to Star Diary, a weekly guide to the best things to see in the Northern Hemisphere's night sky. In this episode, we'll be covering the coming week from the 19th to the 25th of September. I'm Ezzie Pearson, the magazine's features editor, and I'm joined on the podcast today by reviews editor Paul Money. Hello, Paul.
Now then, Ezzie, getting towards the end of September. Can't believe September's over so quick. Good grief. Where's it gone?
So, what are your top tips for saying goodbye to September this week?
Well, we're in the morning sky for most of this week, in actual fact, because mainly we're following the moon. A lot of the events are taking place, associated with the moon. So it's good if you're an insomniac, because it's all in the morning sky. Now, we start off with the moon lying above Mibsuta. I can never pronounce that one. Mibsuta. Which is Epsilon Geminorum, magnitude 3. That's on the 19th. Now, it then lies to the right of Pollux and Kappa Geminorum on the 20th. Now, I always find this interesting because it also forms a triangle. If you take Castor and Pollux and the moon, it forms a triangle. But in between Pollux and the moon, you've got this little star Kappa. And it always gets missed off because we're generally always mentioning, oh, yes, Castor and Pollux and the moon. And often forget that actually, you know, Kappa's there as well, sort of thing, to observe. So if you're hunting around binoculars and looking at the moon as a crescent now, then you come across an extra star and think, why didn't they mention that star? Well, actually, there'll be plenty of other stars in the field of view as well, because it's quite a rich area. You've got the Milky Way running through it as well. But there we are, sort of thing. So again, following the moon as it goes to a thinner and thinner crescent. Now, on the 21st, that slim crescent moon lies several degrees above the Beehive cluster. This is Messier 44. It's in Cancer. Oh, crap. Now, the thing about this is that the moon's a crescent, so there isn't as much light. Now, if this was full moon, it would completely sort of like blow out the cluster. You wouldn't be able to see the Beehive barely. You'd have to have a telescope to spot it. When it's a crescent, there isn't as much light flooding the sky. So you've got a chance to see this crescent moon with the actual cluster directly below it. Because I always love this cluster sort of thing. It and Messier 45, you know, it's definitely two of my favourite clusters, I have to say. Now, the crescent moon is moving down from Cancer into Leo. So we need to be around about 5 o'clock in the morning. Yes, I know, silly hour again sort of thing. But that's the way it runs, isn't it, really? And the moon on the 23rd lies right below the star Eta Leonis. Now, Regulus is usually the one we mention. In fact, we mentioned it a couple of weeks ago about Venus being close to Regulus in bright twilight. Well, the thing about this is that Leo is getting higher, whereas Venus is dropping back into the solar glare. Leo is steadily pulling out from that glare, so we're seeing it in dark skies. So at 5 a.m., because the sky is getting darker, we're heading towards, of course, we're in autumn now, so we're heading towards, in actual fact, winter soon. Gosh, that's coming round quick. That's not fair, is it? It's winter soon. Be cold.
Mm.
But think of the crisp, clear nights.
Crisp nights are always great.
Exactly. So the 23rd is also the autumn equinox. That's for the northern hemisphere, and of course it's the spring equinox for the southern hemisphere. So for us, autumn now officially begins. There's a bit of an interesting thing, because the weathermen, for meteorological purposes, they like to use the first of the month. So the 1st of September, meteorologically, is classed as autumn. But the original meaning was in actual fact the astronomical meaning, which is the autumn equinox occurring on the 23rd. So autumn now, we can honestly say, has officially begun. And I say the moon's next to Eta Leonis as well this morning, so well worth having a look at that. So moving on from the 23rd to the 25th for our final object, and fancy a challenge?
Always fancy a challenge.
We always fancy a challenge, don't we? Now, we mentioned the other week Venus next to Regulus in bright twilight. Well, Venus is still in the twilight. It's getting deeper into that twilight. So the thing about this, though, is that Venus is bright. So you usually can see it quite well as long as it's above the horizon. However, the challenge here is not Venus. I mean, that's the easy one. But Venus guides you to a really, really slim crescent moon. We are talking about them only 2 degrees above the horizon. So again, we've got to emphasize you need an uncluttered, clear horizon. Hopefully there's no mist, early morning mist taking place, as all a low haze, because that would spoil it. Don't watch for too long, because again, we don't want you catching the sun. The sun is only 8 degrees away from the moon and Venus. So this is a challenge. Pete makes a point of this in the September issue as well, sort of thing, that don't observe too long. Grab it and then finish. So the ultra warning there about the sun, but it's worth it.
Always check what time the sun's going to rise if you're going to be observing Venus or Mercury in the mornings.
Definitely, without a doubt. You can't, not worth risking your eyesight for something like this. But if you do spot the Venus, you should spot the crescent moon if you're using binoculars. 10x50 binoculars should do it. It's just 0.6% illumination. I mean, that is incredibly thin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've actually seen a moon that thin myself. Well, the thinnest moon I've seen is a total eclipse of the sun, so that technically the thinnest moon you can have, isn't it?
I don't think it quite counts.
But the beauty is you've got Venus to guide you to it, and that's the thing. But it will be a challenge in this bright morning twilight. So I say, be very careful. I have it set for me for around about 6:30 in the morning. But time will vary depending on where you are in the UK.
Yeah.
And obviously at that time, in some places, the sun will have already risen. So do take care. As you mentioned, Daisy, work out your own local sunrise time and go by that. But get it before the sun rises. But there, I like a challenge.
Yeah. And also make sure when you're working out the sunrise, you leave a good healthy margin on either side to make sure that you definitely look away in time. But yes.
Exactly.
Yes, it certainly sounds like there are some interesting things to see this week. So to recap, we have got the autumn equinox on the 23rd of September, when the night and the day will be equal in length. And then we also will have the slim crescent moon making its appearance and moving throughout the sky throughout the week. You might even have a good chance to see some earthshine. We hope you do. And if that's given you lots of great things to see this week and you want to make sure that you're keeping up to date with everything that's in the night sky every week, be sure to subscribe to the Star Diary podcast, and we hope to see you here next week. So thank you very much for joining us today, Paul.
My pleasure, Ezzy, and look forward to seeing you next week.
If you want to find out even more spectacular sights that will be gracing the night sky throughout the month, be sure to pick up a copy of BBC Sky at Night magazine, where we have a 16-page pull-out sky guide with a full overview of everything worth looking up for. Whether you like to look at the moon, the planets, or the deep sky, whether you use binoculars, telescopes, or neither, our sky guide has got you covered with the detailed star charts to help you track your way across the night sky. From all of us here at BBC Sky at Night magazine, goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Star Diary podcast from the makers of BBC Sky at Night magazine. For more of our podcasts, visit our website at skyatnightmagazine.com or head to Acast, iTunes, or Spotify.